and freight cars, with their doors thrown open. The flatbeds were stacked high, with an assortment of trunks, crates, and small cannon. The freight cars were bulging with men in gray uniforms. The Confederate soldiers had begun to jump down out of the cars as soon as the train shuddered and jolted to a halt. And they were still disembarking, a gray tide on a gray day. "What in the world?" Mac inquired. "It looks like the whole Confederate army's come to Culpeper," Henry observed. He was shorter and stockier than his brother, and a decade younger. His hair was dark brown, almost black. His eyes shone with excitement as he watched the soldiers climbing off the train. The arrival of the troops had drawn plenty of attention. People were emerging from buildings on both sides of Culpeper's main street and were looking toward the depot. They all knew that the Orange and Alexandria ran northeast to the town of Manassas, where it joined with the Manassas Railroad coming in from the west. Near Manassas was the farming community of Centerville, and in the countryside, not far away, was the meandering creek known as Bull Run, where the Confederacy had met the first thrust of the invading Union armies and won a decisive victory, throwing back the Yankees and sending them running home to Washington in a rout. Since then, the bulk of the Confederate forces in Virginia had remained headquartered in Manassas and Centerville, under the command of General Joseph E. Johnston. General P.G.T. Beauregard, widely regarded as one of the heroes of the opening battle, had been sent west to Tennessee to help counter Union advances there. Mac heard another train whistle from the northeast. Something had definitely changed, he thought. If this second train was bearing as many men and supplies as the first one, the only logical conclusion was that the Confederate army was pulling back. And from the looks of the way the gray-clad soldiers were beginning to unload the flat cars, they intended to stay in Culpeper for a while. It looked to Mac very much like his hometown had just become the new Confederate headquarters. And maybe, he thought with rising excitement, just maybe, that meant he would soon see his older brother Will again. Will Brannan hunkered on his heels and leaned his shoulder against the rough trunk of a pine tree. He had taken off his campaign hat and placed it on the ground next to him. Now he lifted a pair of field glasses to his eyes and intently studied the scene before him. The slope of the hillside fell away steeply from the spot where Will was crouched. Below him, a half mile away, were scattered the buildings of Winchester, Virginia, a town Will knew quite well. General Thomas J. Jackson's Stonewall Brigade, of which Will was a part, had been headquartered there for a time the previous autumn. Over the winter, Jackson's forces had withdrawn to the vicinity of Romney, and the Yankees had taken over Winchester. "Like rats moving into an abandoned house," thought Will, as his eyes followed the blue-clad figures moving around the town. Corporal Darcy Bennett knelt beside Will and asked in a low, rumbling voice, "What do you see, Captain?" "Well, the scouts are there," Will murmured without lowering the field glasses. "Looks like the Yankees are getting ready to move out." He could see the railroad station in Winchester and the boxes of supplies that were being loaded onto wagons and carried to the depot. A train waited there, occasional puffs of smoke issuing from the octagonal stack of the locomotive to indicate that it already had steam up. More Yankee soldiers were waiting at the station to load the boxes onto the train. So far, it seemed to be only supplies that the Yankees were moving. The troops were still in Winchester. Evidently, they would be the last to go. But with those supplies being moved out, it was inevitable that the Union soldiers would follow them. Will had a pretty good idea where they were going, too. Across the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Piedmont. The Blue Ridge itself loomed in the distance to the east, beyond the Shenandoah River that had formed this great valley. Will had spent his childhood looking at the Blue Ridge from the other side, as he grew up on the Brannan family farm near Culpeper. Lowering the field glasses, he glanced toward the mountains and couldn't help but wonder how his family was doing. His mother, Abigail, his brothers Mac and Titus and Henry, his sister Cordelia, except for his wandering brother Corey, off somewhere to the west in Missouri, they were all he had left in the world. Even though his mother had disowned him, had turned him out from the bosom of his family, Will knew that she could never really break the ties that bound them all. He was a Brannan, and always would be. But right now he was also a captain in the Confederate Army, commanding this detail on a vital reconnaissance mission. Rebel scouts had brought word to Jackson that the Yankees were getting ready to pull out of Winchester, out of the Shenandoah Valley entirely, more than likely. Will and his men had been sent to confirm or deny that speculation. They had spent a couple of chilly days marching along muddy roads until they reached this range of hills just west of Winchester, taking the brush then, so that they wouldn't be as likely to be discovered by Union patrols. They had moved through the hills to this vantage point. Now they were so close to the Yankees that they could hear the shouts of men giving orders from below them and could smell the wood smoke from the many fires in the Union camp. Will let drop the field glasses suspended from a rawhide thong around his neck. He picked up his hat and straightened from his crouch. A glance over his shoulder showed him the eight men who had accompanied him and Corporal Bennett on this mission. They were kneeling, using trees and brush for cover, their rifles held ready in their hands. To a man, their lean faces and hollow eyes showed the effects of the harsh winter just past, and spring was not yet here. "The Yankees are getting ready to pull out," Will told them in a quiet voice. "Remember that. It's important." They all understood what he meant. If anything happened to the group on the way back to Confederate headquarters, if some of them didn't make it, well, then it would be up to the survivors to carry the word to Jackson. At least one member of this detail had to make it back to Mount Jackson, which had carried its name long before the famous general had located his headquarters there. "God willing, all of them will make it back," thought Will, as he motioned for the men to pull back. The Yankees in the town were all occupied and hadn't spotted the Confederates on the hillside. In a matter of moments, Will and his men had withdrawn up the brushy slope until they were no longer visible from Winchester. All they had to do now was avoid any Union patrols in the area. Darcy took the lead. Like Will, he had grown up in Culpeper County. He had been more of a hunter and a woodsman than a farmer, although he had worked a patch of ground before the war came along. When he was sober, that is. Darcy had had a fondness for getting liquored up and brawling that had caused his path to cross that of Sheriff Will Brannan several times, always with unpleasant consequences. The war had made both Will and Darcy put any hard feelings behind them, however. It was difficult to hold a grudge against a comrade in arms. The Confederates wove through the rugged countryside and had put a couple of miles behind them when they reached a road. Darcy lifted a hand in a signal to stop. The enlisted men went down in a crouch as Will moved alongside the burly corporal.
"Something's coming, Captain," Darcy hissed.
Will heard it too, the noise of the creaking of wagon wheels, he decided, accompanied by soft thuds that were probably from the hooves of horses or mules hitting the still soft surface of the road. He glanced over his shoulder and saw that his men were well concealed. He figured he and Darcy should follow their example, and indicated as much with a jerk of his head. The two men faded back into the brush to wait. They didn't have to do so for very long. Within a matter of minutes, three wagons came into view, rolling around a bend in the road to the north. The wagons were piled high with household goods. A middle-aged woman with strong features under her bonnet was driving the first vehicle. An elderly man was beside her on the seat. The team of mules pulling the second wagon was being handled by a boy around 12. A younger girl was sitting beside him. The driver of the third wagon, a young woman who was maybe 20 years old, was alone on that seat. Will found his attention drawn most to her.